magazine featured it. Life magazine photographed it. People everywhere stayed home to hear it. And here is your chance if you missed it. Presenting the College Quiz Bowl with Alan Ludden as master of the quiz. Because of unprecedented interest in these exciting contests between college teams of four from coast to coast, the National Broadcasting Company will rebroadcast the best games of this unusual series. And so tonight, by transcription, you will hear Barnard College fight it out with Syracuse University from their respective campuses in New York City and Syracuse, New York. And now, let's meet the team. First, from Barnard College,
Annette Wilbois, Des Moines, Iowa.
Toby Brown, Brooklyn, New York.
Donna Glick, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Judy Lewittis, Bronx, New York.
Fred Collins, the station WRCA, will be Barnard's referee. And here's the quartet from Syracuse University.
Alec Torsky, Buffalo, New York.
Charles Samuels, Brooklyn, New York.
Arlene Yar, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Bob Chisman, Syracuse, New York.
The Syracuse referee is Bob Whitney of station WSYR.
Okay, how about those rules, Roger?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points, and the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Barnard College signals, you'll hear... And when Syracuse University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. If a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt the toss-up question before I've finished asking it, but if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I will repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. You got it clear? Okay, those are the rules. That's the opening whistle, so let's go. Here's your first toss-up. Everybody remembers that Alden was the last name of the young gentleman to whom Priscilla said, "Speak for yourself, John." But for 10 points, what was Priscilla's last name? Syracuse.
Sally Katarski.
Mullins.
Right, for 10 points, Syracuse. Priscilla Mullins. Well, Sally, you came right in at the opening here. All right, you got a 30-point bonus question for the Syracuse team. And here you are, you may work as a team. It's a question on names in the news. I'm going to give you the names, and for 10 points apiece, I want you to tell us why these names are now newsworthy. First of all, anybody on the Syracuse team, why is Chris Chataway newsworthy?
Arlene Yar.
Long distance racing. I believe it's at 5,000 meters.
That's right, for 10 points. He set the new world record in the 5,000-meter race at the London-Moscow track meet this month. Okay. Now, here you go. You can make 10 more points, Syracuse, if you'll tell me why Johannes Hoffman is in the news. Is newsworthy.
Oh, we've got that one coming, Alan.
All right. Where? From who? How near is it? I think it's out. Johannes Hoffman is the premier of the Saar. He figured importantly in the recent Franco-German Accord on the Saar, reaching the London talks. Okay? You can still make 10 more points, Syracuse, if you'll tell me why Lewis B. Wolfson is newsworthy.
Bob Cheeseman.
Lewis B. Wolfson is also giving Sewell Avery of Montgomery Ward a fight for control of the Montgomery Ward stock.
Right, for 10 points, Syracuse. What's the score in time, Roger?
Right now, with 22 and a half minutes to go, Alan. Barnard College, nothing. Syracuse, 30.
Okay, back to a toss-up question. Here we go with 30. 25-point bonuses coming up. On the night of February 15th, 1898... 266 men were killed and a war was touched off. For 10 points, what happened? Barnard.
Was that the sinking of a Maine?
Yes, I'll accept it, but don't answer within a question. All right. You got a 25-point bonus, Barnard, by that one, and that was a near one. Here we go. Anybody on the Barnard team? This is a very famous American who started his career as a portrait painter and became proficient in the techniques of daguerreotype photography, though he is best remembered for neither of these occupations. Now, his middle names are Finley and Breeze. For 25 points, can you give us his first and last
name? Is this
name?
Brady?
Samuel F.B. Morse.
That's right, Samuel F.B. Morse. That's right, for 25 points.
That is Judy Lewittis.
Who is that?
That was Judy Lewis.
Okay, Judy, you got it. Now we got 35 to 30. Here we go now. Before we get along to another toss-up question, though, let's find out from Roger Tuttle what the stakes are in this quiz game.
Each week, Good Housekeeping Magazine will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Now, it may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. Since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes, Alan. Now, with 21 minutes to go, and the score, Barnard 35, Syracuse 30, back to another toss-up question.
All right, for 10 points. Coming up is a 40-point bonus, incidentally. A 40-point bonus coming up. For 10 points, tell us, what might Escoffier do with an escargot? Syracuse.
Charles Samuels.
He might cook it.
That's right. Why? Why? Who is Escoffier?
Escoffier is a chef, and escargot is snails.
That's right, boy. You got 10 points for Syracuse, and you got a 40-point bonus here. All right. Now, if I said a handsome boy and his reflection, and you had to make a flash association, you'd undoubtedly say Narcissus, because you're so smart. Thus, you would be identifying properly the fictional source of a famous scene. Now, for 10 points apiece, I want you to give me the name of the story or verse in which each of the following appears. But here's the catch. You have only 4 seconds in which to make the association. So, Syracuse, work fast. The time will start as I finish the situation. First of all, for 10 points, what story or verse is reminded to you in this, by this? A house on fire and the children gone. Sally.
The ladybug beetle. You know, ladybird, fly away home.
That's right, for 10 points, Syracuse. Now, a cracked-up sled and a crooked L.
Bob Cheeseman.
That would be Ethan Frome.
That would be 10 more. That's right, for 10 more points, Syracuse. All right. A house that whispered and a horse that rocked.
Oh,
Charles Sanders.
That would be the Rocking Horse winner by D.H. Lawrence.
That would be 10 more points for Syracuse. All right, you get all of these 40-point questions if you'll tell me what is reminded now by this. An orphan asylum and a long-legged shadow. Of what are you reminded of?
Oh, Bob Cheeseman, try it.
Time is gone.
Oliver Twist.
No, Daddy Longlegs, the children's classic by Gene Webster. All right, what's the score in time, Roger?
Well, score right now, Barnard 35, Syracuse 70, and we have 18 and a half minutes to go, Alan.
Coming up is a 30-point musical bonus. Here's your toss-up. At the birth of one of his daughters, Zeus, chief of the Olympian gods, probably had a splitting headache. Now, for 10 points, can you tell us why? Syracuse.
Sally Katarsky.
His daughter Athena came full-grown from his forest.
That's right. It very well might have given him a headache. Right. Here we go. And that's 10 more points for Syracuse, and you've got now a 30-point bonus. Okay, you can use the jukebox as your textbook for this one. If you know your popular music, you'll have no trouble, I'm sure, giving us 10 points apiece. The meaningless words that form the title of the following currently popular pieces.
I looked at you, something is on my mind.
Okay, Alan. What is it?
Sally.
I think it's Shaboom.
You think right for 10 points. Shaboom. All right, what's the meaningless word at the title of this one?
Oh, that's nice. Arlene Yard.
Arlene.
Oop, shoot.
That's right. Oop, shoot. That's right. Okay, you'll get the whole thing here if you'll tell me the meaningless word or the word that is the title of this one.
Charles
Samuels. That's Gokian. That's Gokian for 10 points. More. All right, here we go with a toss-up question coming up with a 30-point bonus. For 10 points, tell us, on what muscles are you sitting while waiting to answer this toss-up question? No takers? No zoology students? Roger, tell me you're not eligible.
I know what it is.
All right, gluteus maximus muscles. Gluteus maximus muscles. All right, 30-point bonus stands. Here's another toss-up. Humphrey had her riding down a river in a beat-up boat. More recently, she took a backflip into Venice's Grand Canal. For 10 points, what's her name? Barnard.
Judy Lewis.
And the African Queen, Katharine Hepburn?
Right, Katharine Hepburn for 10 points. You know, sometimes colors and shades have names that also mean other things. Now, you're going to get 5 points for each color that you can name from the following description. There are 6 of them. First of all, a primary color that denotes a lack of moral fortitude. Anybody in the
yellow? Yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah,
yellow.
That's right. All right, a shade of blue that borrows its name from a short-necked wild duck. I
teal?
Hear that's right, teal for 5 more points. A shade that has the same name as a liquor made by the Carthusian monk.
Chartreuse.
Right for 5 more points. A mixed color that is also a hydrous basic phosphite of aluminum containing a little copper.
Turquoise.
You said at the same time, 5 points for you there. Right, a tint that also describes a sewing operation.
Pink.
Pink.
Right, 5 points. The color that choleric people often see.
Red.
Red, that's right. Okay, what's the score, Roger Tuttle?
Score right now. Barnard 75, Syracuse 110. We have 15 minutes to go, Alan.
All right, I got a 30-point bonus coming up here, and here's your toss-up. Here's your toss-up. Von Schleicher succeeded Von Papen. For 10 points, tell us, who succeeded Von Schleicher? It's Barnard.
Toby Brown.
Was it Hitler?
Hitler.
It was Hitler, that's right. You corrected yourself. Your answer was an answer. You've got a 30-point bonus here, Barnard. Now, in the senatorial and gubernatorial elections to be held next week, several of the candidates have last names which suggest other things. For 10 points apiece, can you identify the senatorial candidate whose last name suggests a humble spirit?
Meek?
Uh-huh.
Meek?
That's right, Joseph Meek. All right, the gubernatorial candidate who, from the sound and spelling of his name, might be a character in the Arthurian legends.
Launcelot.
Gubernatorial candidate.
Launcelot?
No. Goodwin Knight. Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, who's running for governor of California. You'll have 10 more points, Barnard, if you'll tell me the gubernatorial candidate whose last name also means a social or fraternal organization.
Mason?
Elk.
John Lodge, who's running for re-election in Connecticut. Okay, the score is...
Barnard, 95. Syracuse, 110. Getting close, and we have 13 and a half minutes to go.
All right, coming up is a 20-point bonus. Here's your toss-up. If you traveled from the river associated with the works of the composer Handel to the river associated with the works of Johann Strauss, in what direction would you be going? Barnard.
Annette the Wilboys.
You'd be traveling east.
East generally, southeast specifically, but I'll accept it. Where would you be going from? So, Annette, where would you be going from? From where to where?
From England?
Yes.
To Germany.
All right, from the Thames to the Blue Danube, specifically. All right, here we go now with 20 points. 20-point bonus versus Barnard. You were to imagine now that you were a casting director and had 3 masculine roles to assign. You cast the angel Gabriel as a hot trumpeter. You cast Figaro as a valet. And you cast Loyola as a Franciscan monk. Now, for 20 points, Barnard, what grave casting error would you have made? Think on this.
Have we got to repeat on that?
Yeah, could you repeat it?
Gabriel is a hot trumpeter, Figaro is a valet, Loyola as a Franciscan.
Well, Loyola.
Figaro.
Loyola, what did I hear?
Loyola is wrong because Loyola was a Spanish Jesuit, wasn't he?
That's right, for 20 points, Barnard. Figaro was once a valet in addition to being a barber.
That was good in the Willis again, Alan.
Good.
Ah, that's the whistle for the halftime break, Alan. And before we continue with tonight's game, I'd like to remind you and our audience that the contest you are hearing actually took place some time ago. And so certain questions and allusions to current events will not be so current now as they were then. But they are included to make this rebroadcast game complete. And now with the score, Syracuse 110, Barnard 125, back to the game and our master of the quiz... Alan Ludden.
There's a musical bonus worth 30 points coming up now. Here's your toss-up. Jesus' crown was made of thorns. Medusa's was made of wriggling serpents. You with me? Now, for 10 points,
of what was Charlemagne's maid. Barnard.
Oak.
Can you take it, Syracuse?
Bob Cheeseman.
Of iron, I believe.
Right, for 10 points, Syracuse. Iron. Charlemagne's crown is made of iron, and you have a 21-point bonus, Syracuse. We're going to play excerpts from three orchestral compositions. Judging from the titles, for 10 points apiece, I want you to tell us for what occasion or activity might they have been composed. First.
Charles Samuels on this, Alan.
Okay, Charles.
That's Aaron Copland's Rodeo.
That's right, for 10 points. Rodeo. All right. What is the occasion or activity for which this composition might have been composed? What is it?
Go ahead, Charles.
I'll take a guess. I think that's a serenade.
No. No, the occasion or activity should have been a party. You see, it was a masquerade suite, Catchturians, masquerade suite. The opening movement. All right, here we go. For what occasion or activity, perhaps, for this?
All right, Alan.
All right, what?
Charlie Sam.
I think that's a coronation.
No, that's the War March of the Priest. Okay, the war was the answer we were looking for. Mendelssohn. All right, here we go with a 25-point bonus coming up and a 10-point toss-up right here. 10 points. If you can name the only American who was, during his career, both President of the United States and Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Judy Lewittis.
Taft.
Right, for 10 points. Yeah! William Howard Taft, President of 1909, Chief Justice 1921 to 1930. All right, you've got a 25-point bonus, Barnard. If you were asked, or we asked you to identify the German philosopher whose last name rhymes with a hard roll with a hole in the middle, you'd surely say Hegel. Name rhymes with bagel. Now, for 25 points, I want you to identify the late contemporary American economist whose name rhymes with Louis Armstrong's occupation. Late contemporary American economist whose name rhymes with Louis Armstrong's occupation.
Baxter.
All right, Mr. McGregor has called. Joseph Schumpeter, whose name rhymes with trumpeter. Schumpeter is a famous author of Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy, standard text for most economic students. Score in time, Roger.
Score right now, Barnard 135, Syracuse 130, and 6 minutes to go.
Wow, we're getting close, and here we go. Coming up is a 20-point bonus. Here's your toss-up. On your toes, Barnard, Syracuse, if you heard somebody using the terms flats, gelatins, and silastic, what would his occupation probably be? Syracuse.
Sally Katorski.
He'd probably be in the theater.
That's right. He'd probably be in the theater. Why, Sally?
I know. The Charlton's covering they put over the light to give it color, and the rest I don't know.
All right, but you guessed very well and got a 20-point bonus for Syracuse. For 20 points, I want you to complete this following relationship question. Xanthippe was to Socrates as Clara Wieck was to who?
Conference, Alan.
Is that Schumann?
That's right, for 10 for 20 points. Robert Schumann. Xanthippe, of course, was Socrates' wife. Clara Wieck was Schumann's wife. All right, we have now a 20-point bonus coming up. Here is a 10-point toss-up. The symbol of the pawnbroker was adapted from the sign of what famous family? Syracuse.
Sally Katorski.
De Medici.
De Medici, right, for 10 points, Syracuse. Here's a 20-point bonus. All right, for 20 points, tell us, what do Grasmere and Abbotsford have in common? Abbotsford. What do they have in common?
We're all talking here, Alan. All Bob? Right.
Syracuse?
Worst.
No help. I'll tell you.
They're towns in England.
What?
Cathedrals?
Towns in England. No, they are both homes of famous poets. Sir Walter Scott's home was Abbotsford, and of course Wordsworth's home was Grasmere. All right, coming up now is a 25-point bonus. Score in time, Roger.
Score right now. Barnard 135, Syracuse 170, 3.5 minutes to go.
All right, here we go. Our 25-point bonus coming up for 10 points. Tell us, what did Androcles do to get in good with the lions? Syracuse.
Sally.
He took a thorn out of his foot.
Right, for 10 points, Syracuse. Here's your 25-point bonus. Here's your 25-point bonus, Syracuse. This one is, if you looked at a score of music How could you tell at a glance whether the scoring was made in medieval days or modern days?
Is that because the notes in medieval days were square? Was that...
Yes, I would take that. The number of lines in a staff. Either one would have told you which day it was made in. All right. Here we go with a toss-up question. 30-point bonus is coming up. A three-part 30-point bonus is coming up, so on your toes. If you were asked to take a stroll around the edge of the forest with Roo and Eeyore, with what two animals would you be walking?
Annette, Will Boys.
Eeyore's a donkey and Roo is a kangaroo.
Right. Yeah! Well, I didn't call you, Barnard, but that's right, you like it. For 10 points apiece, you are to identify the following famous sisters of fact and fiction. First of all, the mythological three sisters.
The three fates.
The three fates? All right, Alex.
Also, Lachesis and Atropos.
All right, for 10 points, Barnard. All right. The contemporary seven little sisters.
The Pleiades?
The contemporary seven little sisters.
Oh, these are from Louisa May Alcott?
No.
No, that's William Willis's raft, which rode the Pacific Current from Kalawa, Peru, for 6,000 miles to Samoa, bettering Kontinki's record. All right. The celestial seven sisters.
The Pleiades.
That's right, for 10 points. All right, coming up now, a 30-point bonus with a minute and a half to go to score 165, Barnard, 205, Syracuse. Here's your toss-up. It's a lovely night. The sky is studded with stars and planets. Some of them appear to be white, and some of them appear to be red. For 10 points, which are hotter? Barnard.
The white stars are white.
Right.
Hotter.
Barnard, you have a 30-point bonus. 30-point bonus. Poets, pontiffs, and fictional characters have often posed well-remembered questions. Now, for 10 points apiece, can you identify the people who ask the following questions? First of all, quote, if winter comes, can spring be far behind?
Shakespeare.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, thank you. Barnard. Shelley, an ode to the west wind. All right. Now, who said, quote, what is truth? What is truth?
Truth is
Keats.
No.
Yeats.
Luther?
No. Pontius Pilate, in his interview with Jesus in the Gospel according to St. John. All right, who said?
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan, that's it. Time is up for this evening. The final score on the College Quiz Bowl tonight is 175 points for Barnard, 205 points for Syracuse, the winner. To each member of the Barnard team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, Syracuse University will receive a $500 gift from Good Housekeeping Magazine to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Syracuse will return next week to compete in the new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And here once again, your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
I want to congratulate Syracuse University, and I want to say thank you to those brilliant young ladies from Barnard College for doing such a wonderful job. Won't you be with us next week and every week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl? Now, this is Alan Ludden saying goodbye, everybody.
Referees were Fred Collins of WRCA, New York City, for Barnard College, and Bob Whitney of station WSYR for Syracuse University. Listen to the transcribed College Quiz Bowl next week when Syracuse meets Georgetown University, and they come up against this question.
What is the line of verse that precedes, quote, I never hope to see one?
What do you think the answer is? Tune in next week. Hear the rebroadcast of the most exciting games in this famous series. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network presentation, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, written by Nancy Phobes, and directed by Ken McGregor. This is Roger Tuttle speaking. The effective way to save is the automatic way for the regular purchase of United States savings bonds through the payroll savings plan at work
or the bond a month plan at your bank. Why not plan to invest in the payroll savings plan either where you work or where you bank? It's a good investment.